find the scripture, this Mark 14:50, and let me read it to you and with you. This is it's a big long verse, isn't it? It says, "Then they all deserted him and they ran away." Let's pray. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child will understand me. Lord, help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me, speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, Lord, I want to be obedient to speak to it. Remind me, Lord, you look at all of us today, but you look at me differently. I'm a teacher of your word. I'm under a strict judgment, a greater judgment than anybody that sets foot on this campus today. I know that. I'm reminded of that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see everybody here today. And we're in sermon 4 on our Lent 2019. First sermon in Lent, we dealt with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and Judas when she was anointing the Lord with oil that cost a year's salary. Do you remember that? It's expensive oil. Second sermon was on when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. The third sermon was on the Gethsemane prayer, the agony prayer that's referred to. And we're focusing on the events that happened the week before the cross. And then today we're going to look at the disciples. I know you've seen the disciples in the week before the cross, but today we're going to look at them a little deeper. As we look at Easter, we're looking at the cross, and we should do that. That's the whole point. That's the focus of it, is the debt that he paid and then him being raised from the dead. But Lent, the whole season of Lent, is on the journey. It's on the journey of getting to the cross and then the empty tomb. And we're looking at this last week in the life of Jesus here. And when we go through Lent, we've already talked about it. We're asking you to fast. How's that going? We're halfway through. How's that going? Have any of you, do you remember what you did March 6th? Do you remember? We got to jog your memory a little bit. What are we, 3 weeks into it a little bit, give or take a day or two? How's that going with your fasting? We've asked you to be generous. We usually take up two offerings on Sunday. During Lent, we don't. One of our offerings is a regular tithe offering. The second offering is a missional offering. And we've asked that you not give to the missional offering this during Lent. We don't even take it up. I ask you to take your money and be generous with it. Be generous. Get families that go together and make it, you know, make it like the lottery where the jackpot gets a little higher, and go bless somebody with it. Is that happening? Are you doing that? Every week we're asking you to do that. Is that happening? I'm doing all this for a purpose, and I'll show you just in a second. Third thing we ask you to do during Lent is you're in the Word. And if you were in the Word on a regular basis, then get deeper in it. I don't know if you know anything about going through doctoral school, but I had to hire an editor. You have to hire an editor, and you hire them to yell at you all the time. And she would be really mad at me right now because I said, "What you reading?" Whatcha? What you reading? You reading? Is it? Did we start off really good March the 6th, and have we faded away? 3 weeks into it, have we faded away from fasting? We faded away from generosity. Have we faded away from, if I was in the Word, am I going deeper in the Word? I'm asking you a question because we're about halfway through. Here can be the discovery during Lent. You're weak, you're confused, you're angry, you have competing distractions, there's betrayal, you've stopped, you've run away, you're chasing something else. In fact, we love to chase things that shine. We love to chase them. Halfway through, how's it going? What's your discovery of what's going on? I wrote this and I'll put it on the screen for you. It's like the disciples. It says, we can disappoint, deny, disobey, doubt, and disappear. That's called alliteration. Everything starts with a D. Look at that again. Like the disciples, we can disappoint, deny, disobey, doubt, and disappear. You came this morning going, man, I wanted this to be a challenge sermon today, not a sermon that makes me feel down. We'll get to that in a moment. But it's amazing what some of our discoveries can do. I know the resurrection makes the difference, and so do you. You know that. But let's focus on this week in the disciples' lives. They are confused. They are afraid. They are sleep deprived. A lot of stuff is going on in their life. In fact, you and I are trying to focus from March the 6th to April the 21st. And Jesus was telling them to focus on just 1 hour, and they couldn't do it. Just focus on 1 hour. Do you realize that focusing becomes really hard? And that even in the season of Lent, the discovery is the things I need to focus on, I really don't focus on them because my life is too busy, is too distracted in other areas. We're just like the disciples. We're confused. Let me read to you the story that we're going to handle today. It's Mark 14, 41 through 50. And then let me read it to you. It says, then he came a third time and said to them, that he's still in the Gethsemane prayer, he's still in the garden, the prayer of agony. Are you still sleeping and resting enough? The time has come. Look, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hand of sinners. Get up, let's go. See, my betrayer is near me. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, suddenly arrived. With him was a mob with swords, clubs. They were from the chief priests, the scribes, the elders. His betrayer had given them a signal. There was a code going on here. The one I kiss, he said, he's the one. Arrest him and take him away under guard. So when he came, he went right up to him being Jesus, and said, Rabbi, and leave that there for a moment, Miles, if you will. Remember I told you Judas never called Jesus Lord? Never. He only referred to him as teacher, never called him Lord. Here's a picture of this. Rabbi, and kissed him. Then they took hold of him, and then they arrested him. And one of those who stood by drew his sword. We know that from John's gospel, that this is Simon Peter. Struck the high priest's slave. John even gives his name. He cuts off his ear. Hang on, go back to that one, if you will. Listen, I don't think Simon Peter is Indiana Jones here. I don't think he's that good. I don't think he was probably aiming for the ear. I don't know that this is, that Simon Peter's going, we check the wind here, you know, and get the ear. I could have been going for the neck and just missed. I just don't know that Simon Peter was that good with a sword. Next one, if you will. But Jesus said to them, have you come out with swords and clubs as though I were a criminal to capture me? Every day I was among you. They've had ample opportunity to do this. Teaching in the temple complex, you didn't arrest me. But this is a very important line here. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Hang on to that. We're going to come back to that. Verse 50. Then they all deserted him, and they ran away. I want to go back to verses 49 and 50 for a moment. Every day I could have been there. You had ample opportunity, but the scripture must be fulfilled. Then they all deserted him, and they ran away. What does it mean the scripture must be fulfilled? Going to the cross? The resurrection? Sure, it means that, but it's more detailed than that. Let's go back to Mark chapter 14. Verses 27 and through 29. Here's the prophecy that he's talking about. Then Jesus said to him, all of you will run away because it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. That's out of Zechariah. But after I have been resurrected, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. And here's Simon Peter. Remember, Simon Peter goes from 0 to 100, right? Simon Peter goes, even if anybody runs away, I will certainly not do it. I'm not going to do that. it is prophesied in Zechariah that this was going to happen. And so when Jesus said the scripture is going to be fulfilled, he said it is. Let me give you a reminder. Every prophecy about Christ either has or will come true. You need to know that, every one of it. No matter if it's coming into Jerusalem on a donkey or a colt, it doesn't matter. If it's prophesied about Jesus, it either has or it will come true. And when he says scripture is fulfilled, he's talking about the cross and resurrection. He is talking about the cross and the resurrection, but more detailed, he's saying they are going to be scattered. I will strike the shepherd, which is Jesus, and the sheep will be scattered. That's why we handled that verse in verse 50 that is there, that it is important to know that they're going to get to a point where they are scattered and they run away. They promised to never leave him, but they did. Sound like anything you made? Have we ever made that promise? They left him when it got really difficult. What about us? Jesus is Lord and everything's going good, isn't he? What about when things aren't going so great? Is he still Lord? They left him when his suffering began. This is the cup. It's the cup of suffering. They left him when his suffering begins. It's not that they didn't love him. They loved him. They were just confused, afraid. They didn't know what was going to happen to him or them. And yes, it is prophecy, but don't take the prophecy way out. Don't go, man, it's prophetic that they scattered. I don't want to identify them when we do. As we focus on him during Lent, the cross, we also focus on the journey. But what do we see about ourselves? Don't answer it out loud. Answer it inwardly. You started off with a zeal and a zest March the 6th. We marked your head. We said, repent and believe the gospel. And halfway in it, where are you? Where are you? Halfway in it, where are you? We get to the point, what do we see about ourselves? That we're broken, we're confused, we're afraid. Some of us are doubting. We're denying, we're disobedient. We run away when things get difficult. We run away and we disperse when times of suffering come. We are like the early disciples. They go from who's arguing who is the greatest. They go from arguing who is the greatest. Who's going to sit at the right side? Who's going to sit at the left? Even part of their argument, one of them gets their mother involved in it. You know, when mom gets involved in it, it's serious, right? Arguing over who is the greatest. And then we go from arguing who will sit at his right and who will sit at his left to running away when things are difficult and they're suffering. Do you see yourself in that? I've wanted to run away. I have. A lot of Mondays I've wanted to quit because y'all are more concerned about chairs than you are lost people. You hear me? Literally, you've been in a church, middle seam in the aisle. You can see the middle seam in the carpet. One was a light orange, one was a darker orange because the decorating committee couldn't come up to a consensus on their colors, and one half of the church was what one half of the committee wanted, and one half was what the other committee wanted. And we wanted an awakening, and we're arguing about the color of carpet. I'm not saying that you do, but it's been my past. I'm not going to let you argue about carpet. I'll throw sawdust down before I let you argue about carpet. We can be like them. Who's the greatest to run it away? We've all been there. One of my favorite authors, and I've been using this line all through Lent, Bob Goff, love difficult people and remember you're one of them. You're one of them. You're one of those difficult people who are there to love. I know this is not the end of the story. at all. I know that you and I both know that. The resurrection is going to make the difference in the lives of these disciples. And I'm going to read to you just a moment. Some of you know this, but I'm just going to highlight, bring back to your memory how these guys died, because resurrection made all the difference in the world to them. You have to understand, there was a lot of messianic movements going on. Let me help you out in North America. We have the Dave Koresh stuff that was in Waco. You remember that? Do you know where his following started? Jerusalem. Started in Jerusalem. Almost every little bit of a hint of a messianic movement that you and I have seen in our lifetime, do you know where it originated? It originated in Jerusalem, in Israel. It started there. Because if you're going to start a messianic movement, where should you begin? Where the Messiah was. There are still followings there today that are starting. They just haven't become world renowned. And there were messianic movements back then. And they were common to this key leader making all these predictions and then none of them coming true. And so when that leader died, what happened to the messianic movement? It dispersed, it went away. And then they started following somebody else. There's a lot of belief here that they could have started following James, the brother of Jesus, because he became a believer after the resurrection. And so Jesus is gone now, he's dead. What do we do? How do we keep this movement going? But one thing in Jesus sets him apart from any other movement in the world ever, and that is he raised from the dead. And when he was raised from the dead, this let them know that everything about him is true. And so he not only changed their lives when he was living, he changed their life greatly when he lived again. And so they take this gospel story to the world. And here's what happens. Even though this week is a very difficult week in their life, we resemble them in a lot of ways. It's a very tough week in their life. Let's look at the end result at what happened. And I'm going to throw Paul in the mix, even though he really wasn't a disciple, but just to give you information, he became a great missionary. Peter and Paul were both martyred in Rome under Nero, and Paul was beheaded by Nero, and Peter was crucified. You all know a little bit of the history tradition, they believe, that he was crucified upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like Christ. Andrew, the disciples, went and ministered in what we know as the Soviet Union today. He also preached in Asia Minor, Turkey, and Greece. And the tradition is that he was crucified on an X-shaped cross. And there is belief that he was teaching about Jesus while he was dying until his last breath. He handled a discipleship class on the cross. It's amazing. Thomas was in Syria, and he went to India. And there he was killed with soldiers as they repeatedly stabbed him with their spears. Philip, he went to North Africa, Asia Minor. It is said that he was put to death cruelly because he had led a wife of a Roman proconsul to the Lord. And this humiliated this man. And so the belief is that they hooked Philip with hooks in his ankles and hung him upside down and mutilated his body. Matthew went to Persia, Ethiopia. He was stabbed to death in Ethiopia. Said they stabbed him and the spear stuck into the ground. They went through him and impaled him there. Bartholomew, or you'll know him as Nathaniel, went to India, Armenia, Ethiopia, Southern Arabia. He was whipped to death. We know that James was executed. There's a dispute as to exactly how, but he was martyred. Simon the Zealot was in Persia, and he refused to sacrifice to the sun god, and he was executed. Matthias, who took Judas's place, went to Syria, and he was burned to death at the stake. Jude was in Persia. He was crucified. John died of old age, but he also was exiled on the island of Patmos. And there is some history that one time they tried to burn him in a big vat of oil, and they threw him in there, and he swam in it. He wasn't even burned by it. I like that one. I like that one. I like the supernatural stories and all that's involved in this. Do we know the end result? We do. We have an opportunity to be where we are and look back. But this week was incredibly difficult. Incredibly difficult. And it can match our weeks. What am I telling you? Miles, go back to verse 50, if you will. What am I telling you? I know this is prophecy. But that was prophecy for them. That's not prophecy for us. Man, when the times get tough, don't run. Don't run away. Don't desert. When things are difficult, don't desert. And I can tell you, you and I can talk and we can know. We both have been there. There's areas of our life where we just wanted to shut it all down, and you don't shut it down. We carry this with us. I liked what one man wrote. It was a British theologian, and he said, "We don't hope for the future, we hope from the future." You think about that. I'm not hoping that things are going to work out good. I know they're going to work out good, right? That's Romans 8:28, right? All things work out for those to the good, for those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. And I don't sit here with my fingers crossed going, everything's going to work out okay. I know the end result. I know the promises from my life and yours in following Christ. So I'm not hoping that they're going to come true. They're going to come true. So I'm not hoping for the future. I'm hoping from the future. My hope is already there. It's already there. He already sees us seated with him in the heavenlies. We just got to get through this journey, right? We just got to, you know, it's kind of like being in school. I just got to make it through algebra 2. It's just tough. We got to get through. We do. So don't run. How many people have you seen come up to a difficulty, whether it's in their academic life or any other part of their living, and it becomes difficult, and they disperse and they run? I wanted to read you about the disciples because the resurrection made everything, made all the difference in the world to them, as it does us. And remember our resurrection story. And that is, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that sustains you and me. I'm trying to. Guys, I want you to bear with me here. Okay, I'm not turning in my man card, all right? But I'm trying to read more women authors. Ladies, are you proud of me for that? Guys, I still have my man card, okay? I'm trying to read more books that are from a perspective of a woman. And one of them is a lady by the name of Tish Warren. And this is what she said. She said, it makes us broken vessels into truth bearers, talking about the resurrection. It makes us who are broken, the resurrection makes us into truth bearers. We really are broken vessels that God uses to tell the story that the resurrection power that raised him from the dead is the power that saves you, and it is the power that sustains you. A family conversation about our situation in the death of Tom. How do you make it? Jesus sustains me. It says he holds all things together. And they'll go, "Well, who do you have to talk to?" Jesus. I talk to Jesus a lot. I'm driving down the road and I'm talking out loud. You'll look at me like I'm crazy, and I might act like I'm on the phone when I'm actually just talking to the Lord. I may do this, you know. I try to have conversations with Jesus a lot, privately, as I go, down the road. What does he do? He holds all things together. He sustains everything. And even though a lot of these disciples died a violent death, their hope was not for the future, because the resurrection instilled in them that their hope was from the future. They knew what they were going to. So much that Paul even said, give me a choice, I'd rather be there than here. I'd rather be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And you're going, hey, Pastor, I'm just not there yet. Maybe you're still chasing things that shine. And we've got to stop chasing things that shine for a better life here. In a discussion this week, again, it just goes back to suffering. And the individual said, do you realize how much suffering is out there? I said, I realize it a little bit, but we suffer. There's just a lot of suffering. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of things wrong. But what do? We plow through. We've got to make it through this life. Why? This life is the prequel for the life that is to come. I don't hope for the future. My hope is from the future. Why? Because the resurrection made all the difference in the world. That's why these guys could go out and minister and be killed, and they didn't care. Why? Their hope was from the future, not for the future. I'm not hoping everything's going to work out. He's given me a promise, what? That it will work out. So where's my hope? From the future. How can I do that? He's raised from the dead. He's living today. Well, where is he, Jeff? Where is he? He's on the throne, not going to be king. He is king. He's already king. What's he doing up there? Well, he's reading the Anderson News or something. I don't know. What's he doing up there? Well, he's sending the Holy Spirit, and he's moving the mission of the church, and he's interceding on our behalf. That's what he's doing until he comes back again. Where's my hope? Not for the future. My hope is from the future. Already is from the future. And the resurrection gave them that hope from the future. All kinds of messianic movements. It's all kinds of them. But every one of their leaders died, and they never came back from the grave. Our leader died, and he beat death, and he beat the grave, and he put it all to death himself. It's over. There's victory. We know how this ends. I'm not hoping that it ends that way. All prophecy is concerned. Now listen, don't get mad at me here, okay? There's people that read the book of Revelation and you try to pray and want to switch it. I don't think it's going to be switched, because that's providential. You understand? He said this is because Scripture's fulfilled. If Scripture's prophesied he's going to walk in right into Jerusalem on a donkey or a colt, it's going to happen. If it's prophesied that the disciples are going to scatter, it's going to happen. Scripture will be fulfilled. You can try to pray and change those providential sovereign areas, and that's not going to happen. You hear me? I don't hope for it. I hope from the future, all because of the resurrection. So you and I can't identify with disciples, confused, disobedient, denying him, all those things. We can identify with them, and you're going, it's over, I'm finished. No. You go on. When there's suffering and there's trials and there's difficulty, don't run away, run to him. Because he's a raised Jesus. He's raised from the dead. He's resurrected. And the power that raised him is the power that saves us and sustains us even today. You walk in that. One thing I love about Jesus is his mercies for me are new every single day. And you walk in that mercy and the newness of life. God can and does use you. Don't think that you're giving up. We're broken vessels, but we contain and hold the truth. We become truth bearers, as Tish Warren wrote. Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people today. We can identify the disciples with their failure, their ability to be able to run away. Lord, we also can identify that the fact that the resurrection made everything, that made all the difference for them. And let us learn today that it makes all the difference for us too. that the power that raised your Son, our Savior, is the power that saved us and sustains us. And Lord, we want to walk in that power. When times are difficult, when there's great suffering, we too can argue about who is the greatest in your kingdom. And then just days later can be those who are running away. Father, today we run to you, not away from you. And we thank you that you're alive so we can do so. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Our invitation is here for you to surrender your life to Christ. You may have never done that. There'll be people here in the altar minister to you and with you and for you in that. If you're a believer, we offer communion. The bread represents his body given, the drink, his blood shed. You take the bread, dip it into the drink, and before you consume it, remember his sacrifice today and give him thanks for what he has done. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Logan's going to lead us. Church, would you stand where you are, and would our counselors find their spot? And as the Holy Spirit prompts you to come, you come.